Now, not everyone can boast an uncle who also happens to be a sword swallower, but for Matt DeCero, that uncle got him interested in the world of magic, which led him on the career path he's on now. Matt blends magic tricks with comedy, and he's toured the world with his act. He and I actually met way back, it must be a decade ago now, at the Hubcap Comedy Festival in Moncton, New Brunswick. Matt, who was this uncle, the sword swallower?
The crazy uncle. It is great to see you, by the way, again.
Same here.
So it was actually a great uncle. And he had left me a book called Henry Hayes' Amateur Magician's Handbook. And I think he recognized that I was sort of, not the most social kid. And maybe this was something that would be useful for me to have. And magic might be a way for me to interact with other kids. So, he was the guy who would go to the sideshow and, you know, he'd play piano during the day and maybe he'd eat a little fire, do some magic, do whatever. He was the black sheep of the family. And so now I am the black sheep of the family. So I will have to pass that along to someone else.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's great.
Keep the circle of life going.
Yeah.
Do you think it was just that, you weren't as social, or was there something that he saw in you that made him think, hey, this kid might be into a life on the stage?
Probably that I was, I did not have a lot of friends in public school. I was one of those introverted, nerdy, I'd much rather be watching Doctor Who kind of kids, and still am.
Right.
So I think anything to take me out of my shell would be useful. And that was, my grandparents too were like, magic might be the way to go. And it turned out to be great. What a wonderful career as a result of it. I've never had a job and worked in 40 countries. It's been amazing.
That's a pretty cool ride.
Yeah.
For a little, from your uncle, this might help you socialize.
Yeah, from this little book of coin and card tricks comes, working all over the world. It's great.
Did the magic help you while you were still in school? Did it help you socially with classmates?
Did in high school, I think, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, high school, I probably wouldn't have had, I would have had less friends certainly without it. So, magic helps. And it was good for it was just good for a lot of things.
But, was it ever a pickup line?
Yeah, I was right about to say it was maybe good to meet girls.
Share it
but
all.
I feel bad saying that. But it was great to, a great way to meet girls in high school who I might not otherwise have talked to. I'm embarrassed even saying it.
Don't feel bad. I have never interviewed a straight male musician who has not answered by saying, I thought I would be able to meet women this way. That's why I picked up the guitar.
That's why everybody picks up the guitar.
That's the whole thing.
If only I had some skill, maybe I would use the guitar.
How do you go from doing magic, though, in the living room for your grandparents to stages with, thousands of people out there?
So it's an interesting thing. Like everybody, just like you said, starts off in the living room performing for the family at Christmas time. And then, you go birthday parties, like a lot of magicians. And then from birthday parties to malls to universities. And then one of my friends, who's another magician, performed at Yuk Yuk's comedy clubs. And he was like, you would probably fit in here. And then I met one of the agents and auditioned, went through that whole process, and ended up working for Yuk Yuk's for quite a number of years and working their private corporate shows as well as their clubs. And that's when I realized, hey, there's money to be made in this business. And so I could do this.
So how, though, from just the magic tricks to, wait a minute, I'll blend comedy and magic?
Yeah. So I always felt, even in high school, that people who watch magic know it's not magic. They know I'm not a witcher or a warlock.
Right.
I'm not Gandalf.
Yeah.
So why not have a little bit of fun with it? So I always go, look, let's just have some fun. I know what this is. You know what this is. Let's just take it at face value and have some fun. And then people come up out of the audience. I get to interact with them. We joke around and, strange things happen sometimes.
Yeah, you do have a lot of that audience interaction. What do you get from that? Why do you like that?
I love it. It's a different show. Every single night is a different show. So most of my work is corporate in nature, like, conferences, conventions, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And people have had long days. They're in sessions. And then they come up on stage with me and I get to bring them up. And they get to be the stars of the show, which is kind of cool with
me.
And then we're joking around and their friends see a different side of them. I see some different side of, the people I just saw at the trade show floor or something. And I just love that they could say anything. It's game on. And I have to be ready for whatever they say, which is the best. It keeps me on. I could write a million jokes, but it may not work the way I want it to. And so I got to be ready for whatever comes my way. It's great.
So cool. Now, I'm sure everyone out there is dying to know, The underwear effect? What is the underwear effect?
I wish I could say it was something to do with my unbelievable charm and personality. But as you may have known, some of you may know, I performed on Penn & Teller's show, Fool Us. And needed to come up with a trick for that show. So it's an effect where five people come out of the audience and they write down the color of their underwear on a card. I have no idea what it is. I shuffle them up, and then magically somehow I know the color of everyone's underwear.
Oh my goodness!
Yes, I have a way with underwear.
That Penn and Teller, what was that about?
So they have a show called Fool Us, which started in the UK and has come now to North America, and it's on its third season. And I was lucky enough to be asked to be on the show. And the world's best magicians come every year, and they present one trick and try to fool Penn and Teller. So you go to Las Vegas, they fly you in, you stand on their 2,000-seat theater stage with them 8 feet away from you, and you perform your magic trick, in my case, the underwear thing. And you try to fool them. And I'm not contractually until my spot airs in a couple of weeks. I'm not allowed to say whether I fooled them or not.
Okay, but
it was great. Like, it's just a cool thing to get to be around and to be recognized as one of the best magicians in the world, to be asked to be on the show is a real honor. And also, hardly any Canadians. So in the entire show's run, there's been very few Canadians. So it's nice that I get to represent Canada, because Canada has a lot of great magicians, and I don't think people know that. So...
Now,
I didn't shy away from it on stage. Certainly, I made a big deal of talking about
it. Oh, I bet.
Yeah, and in my interview, too, I'm like, they do a little interview, you know, before you do the actual performance on stage. And I'm like, look, if you guys want a hero win on this Canadian bill, you go right ahead. Like,
good for you.
Yeah, I'm not going to make people think I'm American. I was Canada.
Now, you're absolutely right that when you bring people up on stage, it makes them the star of the show, and it might be a one joke less that you have to write or tell that night. However, you cannot predict what people are going to do when you pull them out of the audience unknown. Tell me some of the crazy things that have happened.
So lots and lots. Like, I've had weird things happen, like... you know, just actual things. Like last year I performed for the Canadian military in Kuwait, and while I was performing in the desert, I had to kick a scorpion off the stage. Like, that was weird.
Whoa.
But one time during this underwear effect that I just described, I had five people are up on the audience, and once I had a lady, I say, if I named the color of your underwear, please return to your seats now. They all walk back except for one lady. And I'm like, look, everybody else is gone. You're stepping on my applause cue is kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I just wanted to show you. And she turns with her back to the audience, undoes her pants, and shows me her pink polka dot thongy looking underwear. And shocking. So, now, just like you said, you have to figure out what to do with that. So I'm stunned. I casually went to the front row, got someone's glass of water, walked back up, poured it down my pants to try and cool myself off, and said, thank you very much. Big round of applause for our volunteer. Again, anything can happen. And that's, yes, I had to do the rest of the show with wet pants, but it was worth it for the laugh.
It's all for the laugh.
Yes.
It's all about, as you know, right?
Do anything for the laugh.
Yeah, totally. And I understand you have a sad story from the Calgary Saddle Dome.
Oh, my goodness. That is a terrible thing. I one time, again, in the world of unpredictability, I had to perform at a conference, as I normally do, so it's no big thing. I fly in. And the person who's introducing me to these, 6,000 people, passes away. She dies. Ambulance comes.
On the stage?
On the stage. Ambulance comes, takes her away. Like, it's a big, huge kerfuffle. It was terrible. And afterwards, the ambulance takes her away. Things are starting to settle down. And the client says, you'll perform now. I go, no. There could be nothing more inappropriate in the entire world. No. Back and forth. And finally, they're like, look, we're not going to pay you unless you go on stage. I go, your workmate died. No, you got to go up. So somebody introduces me, and they're crying as they're introducing me because they know this person who's just passed away or been taken away. And I got to go up there, and I die. like a horrible comedic death,
right? Of course,
yes. And they're just like, they just couldn't understand why it didn't work.
Wow.
And they're calling my agent going, he didn't do well.
Somebody like, just died.
So anything, welcome to show business, anything, the show must go on.
Right? That's the drawback of corporate shows, though, is that you have people planning who are not used to putting shows on usually.
I agree. And yet I love them best. Most comics will say that they like theater. I love theaters too, of course. But most comics will say they don't like corporate, but I love corporate. It's interesting, and I never had a job, right? So yeah. I get to see a whole bunch of different industries and talk to these people. So I feel like I'm connected to people in printing and people construction.
Yes.
So I love that. I get to talk to people. And most comics don't interact with people like I do.
That's true.
So, yeah, it's great for me. So I know what you're saying, but for me, it's like the best. I know that they don't. It's nothing to help someone plan things, you know? If you talk to my agent.
If you can convince them that comedy at midnight after a band is not always the best idea.
Oh, no, there's only 2 hours of awards. Then you can go on. Yeah.
Oh, everybody would be really excited to hear the jokes then.
This is where the writer comes into play, right? It must be on after dinner before any awards. And you know what? Everybody gets it. Once you explain it, why it works. Great.
And anybody who follows you on social media knows that there has been a new development. There is a small little person in your life.
Yes, there's baby Matthew. Baby Matthew has arrived his name is Ferris, about a year and 2 months
ago.
Ferris, named after Ferris Bueller. In fact, when I was on the Penn & Teller show, they have to figure out how I do my tricks. So I'm being interviewed by Allison Hannigan, who's the host of the show. She was on American Pie and a number of other movies, like I think How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
So I bring up Ferris. She asked me about Ferris. She said, do you have a son, I hear. And I said, yes, I have a son named Ferris, named after Ferris Bueller. And the audience erupts like massive laughter and huge applause. And I just stopped and I went, you know what's troubling is that you guys just applauded more for the name of my son than the effect that I just worked my butt off to try and fool Penn and tell her with.
So sad, but everybody loves Ferris Bueller.
I hope he dates someone named Sloan.
Oh, my goodness.
And his best friend is Cameron. That would just be
And then, you know, it'll be a big moment when you show him the movie for the very first time once he's old enough.
Yes. It's going to be, I can't wait.
Yeah, that's going to be one of those moments. You have a unique hobby as well, collecting games. What kind of games?
So I love video games, but I'm not as keen on the, you know, Call of Duty new type Xbox things. I like old arcade games. So I have a Ms. Pac-Man cabinet in my basement from the 80s. Interestingly, I was just telling your producer that when I first got the box and I opened it up, you know, the thing that holds the coins.
Right.
It's stamped Crystal Beach. And believe it or not, I used to go to Crystal Beach with my family and play the one Miss Pac-Man machine there. So basically, I accidentally bought the Miss Pac-Man machine that 30 years prior I used to play at Crystal Beach.
Oh.
And now sits in my. So between that and my Donkey Kong machine.
Donkey Kong too. What else have you got down there?
I have Donkey Kong, Asteroids. I have about 65 arcade games in one box. And then I have some classic other arcades. And I love to go to a place called Fun Spot, which is north of Boston. It's where you can, it's where the best of the best of the arcade gamers seem to go. Yeah, it's neat. It's like a big blood sport.
Any pinball or am I going too far back?
I love pinball, I'm a huge Doctor Who fan, as anybody who knows me knows. And I've tried to get a Doctor Who pinball machine for a very long time. I would spend almost any amount of money. Oh, Casey, if you're listening, I would not spend that much money on this.
You can send your email direct to Matt DeCero if you have one of those to sell.
Yes, info at Matt DeCero.
I've always wanted the Kiss pinball machine.
Wouldn't that be something?
I know I would never make enough money to earn it, but boy, pinball is the only game I really get into.
I do like pinball. It's cool. Anything you can tilt.
Now, do you think, you know, at some point you and your little Ferris will be down there playing those games?
I'm worried because my neighbor's kids always come over and my close friends' children come over at Christmas. We have Christmas dinner and then we go down to play video games and they're like 9, 12 years old. And they just go, oh, this sucks. It's boring. The graphics are no good. And I'm like, this is hand-eye coordination. Without this, I wouldn't be doing magic. This is like the best thing ever to me. And they're like, a game with a quarter? How good could a quarter game be?
Oh, and you will run that risk with your son. And also magic is kind of an old school, entertainment form.
Yeah,
are you
totally
worried
true.
That someday instead of your son saying, oh, my dad is a magician / comedian, that he's going to be like, oh, my dad does magic. Like he's 300 years old.
I think you're always kind of probably embarrassed at whatever your dad does, I guess.
But, I suppose.
I don't really want him to go into the arts, truthfully. I would like him to be in the trades or something like normal. As you know, this is a crazy life.
Yeah, it sure
is. Yes, everyone goes, oh, it's great. You get to perform in all these countries. But there's, you know, when I cracked 1,000,005 points on American Airlines, I go, it's maybe time.
Yeah.
So I don't want that for him. I want him to have a pension and benefits and all the things that us entertainers don't have.
Too true.
So yeah, I just know how stressful show business can be, and I'd like that to be not for him. But at the same time, if he's interested in magic, I will gladly help him. But I'll tell him, not for full time.
No, okay. Do it on the side.
Do it on the side.
Thank you so much for coming in. Tell everyone when they can see that Penn & Teller episode.
Yeah, so Penn & Teller's show is called Fool Us, and it airs every week. And my episode, the one where I'm sort of Mr. Canada and I'm trying to represent Canada as best I can, airs August 17th at 8 on the CW network.
Right on. We'll check it out. Thanks so much, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Candy.
Matt DeCero is a magician and comedian in Toronto.